mother had had a word with Louis van Gaal.
My mother said, oh, my son was scoring the final. My son was scoring the final. I was like, Mom, shut up, please.
Well, can the youngster make a difference off the bench?
I think it was the most ugliest goal that I ever scored, but the most important.
And Kluivert, and he might be in here. Patrick Kluivert, the breakthrough for Ajax.
When we came back, elevator stairs just opened up, mm-hmm. and my mother was standing there, and woof, I cried my eyes out. Oh.
No one can say Ajax don't deserve this. Truly magnificent throughout the course of the Champions League season.
1995, when things were just cooler. Robson and Jerome rubbing shoulders with Celine Dion and Oasis in the UK music charts. Toy Story in the cinemas. In sport, Frank Bruno was top of the world after winning the WBC heavyweight title, and Blackburn Rovers had won the Premier League. But cooler than any of them were Ajax. The 94-95 vintage of the Total Football team was the stuff of every neutral's dreams. Sweeper keeper, tick. Real wingers, tick. A teenage scoring sensation who came off the bench to score the most important goal of the season, very much tick. That young man, one fateful summer night in Vienna, was Patrick Kluivert. And all these years later, he joins us on today's show. Patrick, delighted you could be with us today. First of all, Vienna. It means nothing to some people. What does it mean to you?
Well, first of all, it's a beautiful city. But second of all, it was a game-changing evening, I think. As an 18-year-old sitting on the bench, and all of a sudden at the 85th minute, came out of the bench, get in the game, I was quite excited. And then scoring that, I think it was the most ugliest goal that I ever scored, but the most important. So, you know, very happy to have been able to do this. And yeah, after that, of course, anything changed.
I mean, I'm not denying you've scored some beautiful goals, but I don't think that was the ugliest goal you ever scored.
Oh,
I mean,
yes. Far from.
Why?
Yeah. You know, it was an with my point of my toe, with Boban and Baresi on the left side coming in. I'd scored many other more beautiful goals, but, you know, it was a sliding and then tipping in with my point of my left foot. It went in. That's the most important thing. It went in.
Indeed so. Yeah, we'll come back to that and have a debate about that, because I reckon you're being unfair to that particular goal. But what an extraordinary moment. As you say, you were 18, coming off the bench. You are still, I think, the youngest ever goal scorer in a Champions League final.
Yes.
And a remarkable debut season. That was the climax of playing for the team that you'd grown up representing, the Ajax, the legend of football. So much for us to discuss. Let's start, though, with you and your youth. Your father played professional football, yeah?
Yes, my father played professional football in Suriname, plays for Robin Hood. There he was the main man, he was the star of the team. So I think I earned it from my father, yeah.
Okay. You joined up with Ajax at 7 years of age.
Yes, exactly.
How intense is it at that age with Ajax? They kind of have almost this feeling of it being almost like a religion.
Yeah, you know, it is. Of course, that Ajax is one of the best youth academies, I don't want to say from the world, but far from Europe for sure. They always pick the best players of the region, if not from Holland, to join at the early age the academy. And every young player wanted to play and wants to play for Ajax, because they know the history, they know how the youth academy works. They know that you have very much the possibility to join the whole youth system until the first team. And that was the best academy. So I was playing for a small club called Schellingwoude. There was a small club close in the neighborhood. And all of a sudden there was a scout, you know, on the sideline. And after a game, he said, well, I've been following you for a long time now, and we really want to have you in Ajax, you know, in the youth of Ajax. And, you know, of course, me as a young kid of 7 years old, I was like, wow, yeah, of course, when do I need to come? So they said, easy. We'll invite you. You have some trainings with us, and then we will check your qualities regarding also to the ones that we have. And yeah, all of a sudden, I went to the training. I played a game as well, a friendly game between each other. From that moment, I didn't go away from the club. It was all very clear that I could stay for you know, to be involved in the youth academy from A-Jeugd, it's called. from a young age. And from that moment on, I only played in the first teams throughout the whole system, the youth system, till the first team of Ajax.
And incredible to think that it was only 11 years from that scout coming up to you to you scoring the Champions League winning goal.
Yes, if you look back at that, it's 11 years, yes, true.
Yeah, wow. Was it a matter of huge pride for you to be invited to join Ajax?
Of course, yes, of course, because my childhood hero was Marco van Basten, and he was playing that time in Ajax, of course, and he scored that amazing, you know, the flip goal in the square. Basten was my all-time hero. Still is. And, you know, if I could follow a little bit, you know, in his footsteps, you know, at the same club for a young kid at my age was really, really nice.
You were talking about the prestige of that academy and the success of the academy. That generation that you came through with was something quite extraordinary. How many of your eventual Champions League teammates came through at the same time as you?
Actually, I can only mention Clarence Seedorf and Edgar Davids. Those two were really also in the youth academy throughout, because Edgar was a little bit older, 2 years older. And Clarence Seedorf, he is the same age as me, only a different month. So he was, and Clarence Seedorf was one team ahead of me. We came together in the first team. And, you know, if you're a young kid, like 17, 18 years old and joining the first team, it's very nice to have guys who you played in the youth, you know, to hang on with. If not, it's quite spicy to be in the first team with older guys, experienced guys. So it was very nice to meet them again in the first team.
Did you ever play with each other in any of the kind of various under nines, under tens, etc. along the way?
Yeah, with Clarence, I played in the youth, yes.
Wow, that's quite a thought for any opposition team. But in the end, the squad, the amount of homegrown representation in that first team, your debut season with the Ajax senior side is extraordinary. I think for the Champions League final of the 18 squad players, 13 of them had come through the academy.
Yes, not the really low academy, but they came in like 13, 14 years old. They joined the academy. You mentioned the names, Ronald Frank de Boer, Van der Sar.
Kanu as well had come through there.
Finidi, Liedman. The nice thing about that team was that we had a very differentiation of nationalities, age difference as well. And that all combined mold in one team. That's just amazing. I don't know if you have that now in these days, you know. It's amazing. It's really amazing that 1 year, I think it was 94, we won the Dutch championship without losing not one game. Quite amazing.
Well, no, it's utterly amazing. Not only did you do that, Patrick, but you also won the Champions League without losing a single game. And no team has ever done that, do the double without dropping a single match along the way. In the league, you had a run of 52 domestic matches without defeat. In the Eredivisie, the season of 94-95, the one that culminates in the Champions League, 27 wins, no losses. You scored, I mean, not you personally, but some of them were yours, 106 goals, only 28 conceded. So to put that in perspective, Ajax was scoring over 3 goals a game on average through that Eredivisie season. What was that like to be part of?
Fantastic, of course. You know, as a young kid playing in a team who's winning with at least 3 goals of difference. Yeah, just amazing. You know, we were looking and it was, I can remember very good, where we trained was also the stadium. When the opponent team came in, we were looking at the defense and then saying to each other, guys, how many we will score today? You know, and we were so, so confident of ourselves, not arrogance, but between, you know, the players in the squad, we were like, come on, guys, we need to, you know, again and again. It was like inviting the opponent to have a defeat and go back to the place where they come from, you know. And that's also a little bit like the, not the arrogance, but the way that people see our team. We were so strong in all the games, actually. And also in that time, European-wise, if you show that on the pitch, domestic clubs were like, wow, we need to play them again. They come from big, big games and now they have to play us. What's going to happen with us now? That's the power that we had and that we showed on the pitch, I think.
I think as well, internationally, that Ajax team, they were the coolest team. I mean, they've been so many Champions League winners, but that Ajax side were kind of the coolest ones. The record that you had, the incredible strip, I mean, that jersey's just amazing. But also the way you played, which it was very much in the Dutch tradition, of course, but given the way that football had been dominated in the years before that, it was very different. The speed, the using the sweeper keeper, the wingers, playing the high line. How did it set up exactly?
Well, it's of course the coach, Louis van Gaal, who really built that in our system, and he knew the qualities of the players who we had in the team. We, as a team, knew every quality of the player that we have in our team. I think that's the most important thing. If everybody knows his task in the game, doesn't matter offense, defense, or the transition moments, we knew what we had to do. We knew the opponent very good. We know how to get them. And we just knew our qualities. And it was actually for the opponent to handle with our quality. And that was the main reason that we dominated the game so well.
Mm. And you had Louis van Gaal on the bench, which must have been an experience. I know you had him then subsequently at Barcelona. But to the outside world, I think he seems a very particular character.
That's well said. That's well said.
I mean, at Bayern, he would do things like apparently drop his trousers in the dressing room to show his displeasure with the... What kind of things did he do with you?
Well, I have to admit that, of course, I had Louis van Gaal as a trainer. I worked as an assistant, but we come back, I think, later on that. But in the early days, he was quite a hard coach because he was in the beginning of his coaching career. He was quite spicy. And what you say, what you mentioned as well, quite particular. But also very funny. You know, he's a real man who wants to assess everything what he thinks. It's not always good, but he was an honest man. For me, very important at that time. He brought me back from when I was playing for AC Milan to Barcelona. So for me, Luis van Gaal is a man, is a coach, a father, a football father. He had a red line in my career, and that was really really important to give. Because he gave me the opportunity to come from the A youth directly to the first team of Ajax. That was the time when PSV signed Ronaldo. Ajax didn't have a real, you know, follow-up for PSV signed Ronaldo. So he bragged. Actually, he put me a little bit of pressure that PSV signed Ronaldo. And I was equivalent for Ajax. Ronaldo was the big talent in Brazil who went to PSV. And I was just a little boy, came from the A youth. And joined the first team. So very happy that he was he had the guts to present me for the first team. So I'm thankful for that.
That debut season, Patrick, you finish joint top scorer with Ronaldo. 18 goals in 25 games.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But I have to say the thanks to also my teammates, of course, because without them, I couldn't have scored all those goals. And it was a fantastic season, of course, when you're a young kid joining the first team, scoring 18 goals in your first season. That's ridiculous, you know, and if you have an opportunity, you can prove it, because if you don't, you can't show your qualities at the highest level.
So he gave you your debut on the 21st of August 1994, which, crikey, that's a long time ago. That was in the Dutch Super Cup against Feyenoord, and of course you scored. And then you have this amazing season, just outside of football, as an 18-year-old in Amsterdam, playing for one of the greatest sides around, and just lighting up the scoring charts. What was that like?
Well, you know, when you walk in the streets, I was born in Amsterdam as well. Everyone knew you. Everyone, you know, wanted to know something of you. Family were out through the sky. But I was quite relaxed, all this attention of everybody. And people know me that I love all the attention as an 18-year-old. It's, of course, what you dreamed of. But it was just the beginning. You know, I was just a little boy doing his thing. And all the things were fantastic, of course. But it was just the beginning. So who doesn't love the attention when you're 18 years old and doing the thing that you love?
Absolutely. Was there a lot of pressure on that side as the results came to take Ajax back to the kind of top table in Europe? I mean, you were in the Champions League, but it had been more than two decades since the Cruyff era of Ajax and the three titles. Well, was that like a kind of recurring thing for the club, that the generation needed to come to bring the glory back?
I think so. The Cruyff era was, of course, fantastic. And it was 2 years ago that Ajax was on the top level. And, of course, Van Gaal wanted to build a solid team, not only domestically in Holland, but also in Europe, of course. It didn't came falling into our hands. We worked hard for it. blood, sweat and tears, and with hard work you achieve something. And of course a little bit of luck has to combine all this together. This formula is what everybody needs to understand and digest, and you know, from that point on everybody needs to go on that same train. And that's what we did. Yeah, the results are, of course, amazing, what we did in the league and Champions League.
How much of that do you think was down to the fact that so many of the group had come through the Ajax system together?
Well, that's very important, of course. The good thing is, when you're in the youth system, you play exactly like the first team. And that was some philosophy that I think every club needs to have. If the first team plays like a system, all the youth teams, especially the under-19s and under-23, they need to play the same system. So if you're going through the whole system and in the first team, you know exactly your task, what you need to do. Of course, the individual skill is the extra, it's cherry on the cake. But all the youth teams need to play the same system as the first team. I think that's the key, to have the youngsters, if they come up and play with the higher team, they know exactly their position, they know exactly what to do. And I think that's the most important thing.
So let's talk about that Champions League season then, that Champions League campaign. As you say, it was hard work. Nothing fell into your laps. You're in a group, first of all, with Milan, the team who were absolutely dominating Europe, who just destroyed Johan Cruyff's Barcelona the previous summer in what was, I think, their fifth final in 7 years. Of all the teams to face... And you start, I think, in the first group game against them and set up the opening goal.
Yeah, that was a game at home in the Olympic Stadium. As you say, the team of AC Milan, we were like, wow, Baresi, Maldini, Gullit, Dutchman. The team of kings playing against, like David and Goliath, you know, playing against a small team, small country. And all of a sudden, yeah, we just... We're focused on the way we play. Of course, we need to respect the opponent, but we're playing at home. We were confident. And yeah, the first goal was it Littmanen who scored?
No. Ronald de Boer got the first, and then Littmanen had a volley later on. But okay, you set up Ronald de Boer for the first. You mentioned them being kings, Milan. How much of a factor was having one of those Dutch kings, Frank Rijkaard, returning to Ajax from Milan?
Yeah, that was amazing. That was, for our team, one of the big keys, if not the big key that we had in the team with Frank Rijkaard and Danny Blind. Those two players were, for us, very key because they were experienced. They knew exactly how to manage the team. They were the leaders of our team. They were just so important, and also giving some information about AC Milan in advance of the game. So with Frank, of course, he knew the team. He just came from that team. Yeah, for him, it had to be also a very special feeling to beat the ex-players, his ex-team in Amsterdam.
You beat them at San Siro as well. Rijkaard would be at the kind of base of the midfield diamond, is that right, with Jari Littmanen behind you in the classic setup? And then who would you have out on the wings?
On the wings with Overmars.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And Finidi George.
Nice.
But actually, the away game, it was cancelled, and we had to play in Trieste.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, they had a stadium ban.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They had a stadium ban. We played in Trieste. So that was good for us, not in San Siro. And we had, of course, on the midfield, Littmanen, Davids.
Right.
Seedorf.
Yeah.
And then we had, Frankie was playing actually centre back, coming in with Blind. Okay. And we had Frank de Boer on the left side, and I think it was Reisiger on the right side,
right,
and Van der Sar in goal. Especially in the away game in Trieste, we knew that game would be crucial to be first in the group. And again, we knew AC Milan very good, their weaknesses, we know their strength. And there we were, winning again away in Italy. And it just was like we were in some sort of winning flow. I really can't describe how and why we were just doing so well. The flow in the team was so good, only positivity. We know exactly what to do from each other, and we were saying the honest things to each other. You know, if you were not happy, you could say whatever you want and then go on from that. There was no negative vibe in the team, and I think that is key. We had a differentiation in nationalities, but also in age difference, so everybody knew where they were standing in the team. And I think that is crucial.
I think there's kind of a public perception that that a lot of Dutch teams are like that, of players saying exactly what they think all the time and not always in a positive way. Was Ajax special in that sense, that because you, I guess, growing up together as well, you were so comfortable that it was almost like a family?
I think it's so important, you know. If you step into the game, you have to be open and you have to be free. If things are blocking yourself, your system, mentally and physically, but especially mentally, you have to speak it out. You know, football is a team sport, so and you're all for the same goal. Why would you have something in you what is probably negative? Why you don't speak it out? You know, you have to speak it out, because if it blocks you, it will refer it also in the game. Van Gaal put that in the group. So if you have something to say, just say it. If it's good, negative or positive, you have to be open. You know, you have to have the confidence in your teammate. If you're not happy that you don't play, say it. Then he will give you the explanation. And then you know why you're not playing. You know, there's only 11 can be in the starting 11. But if you're on the bench, that's what they all say. You're winning the competition. You're winning with the strength of the bench you have. That's the thing, what's true.
Mm, and never more so than in the final, of course. Well, before you could get to Vienna and the Ernst Happel Stadium, you had to get past Bayern Munich in the semi-finals, 0-0 in Munich. And then, do you remember much of the second leg?
I think it was 5-2.
It was, yeah. I mean, what a huge result.
Yeah, it was the first one away. We knew that we had to have a good result. And I think that 0-0 is a fantastic result, of course. Mm. And then the game, again, Olympic Stadium. Oof. Do you want me to tell the goal story? If I may dig in.
Yeah.
I think it was Overmars, Frank de Boer, Liedmanen for sure, Finidi George had a fantastic volley. Did I score the game as well?
I don't think so, no.
No, I don't think so. I think Finidi, Overmars, Liedmanen,
right,
Frank de Boer,
okay,
and Rijkaard.
I'm amazed by your recall.
Yes, but that game was historically winning from that great, great Bayern Munich who dominated the German league and a winning. And everybody was hoping already, oh, please, please, keep this vibe until the final, keep this vibe. And that was growing also in our team. If you're winning these crucial games against very competitive opponents, it gives you the positive vibes that you need to grow more in this competition. That's what we cherished, and that's what took us on also to the other games.
Vienna's Ernst Happel Stadium played host to the 1995 Champions League final, with reigning champions AC Milan taking on Ajax, who were looking to claim the title for the first time since the days of Johan Cruyff. Fabio Capello's Milan had endured a difficult season, a fourth-place finish in Serie A, ending a run of three successive titles. Louis van Gaal's Ajax, on the other hand, headed into the final after being crowned Dutch champions.
Pass by and you go, and it's Milan once again, who, I read comments from people like Daniele Massaro, they didn't feel particularly worried about Ajax, even though you'd had the two results against them in the group stages, but they had such an incredible track record at this level. What a lineup they had. I mean, you mentioned before when we were talking about the goal, Baresi and Boban, Costacurta in there, Paolo Maldini, Marcel Desailly. Even before you could get to their defence, you had Marcel Desailly to get past.
Franco Baresi wearing the captain's armband for AC Milan. Baresi missed last year's final, the 4-0 thrashing of Barcelona through suspension. But in his customary position this evening, Roberto Donadoni and Zvonimir Boban will, Milan hope, provide flair.
How was Louis van Gaal's preparation for the game? Did he have any particular tactical switch? Because it was a very different kind of performance to that 5-2 in the semi-final.
I don't remember that we did something special in advance of this game. What I said in away game against them in Trieste, it was, again, we knew the qualities. So we had also the thing that we don't do something special. You know, it's a final. We played already two times against them. We need to switch on again. It's like the same that the opponent AC Milan thought of us. And of course, in the group stage, when Milan came second, they had a fantastic track record to come back in the final against us. And before we even go further, you mentioned Desailly.
Lippmann in. Tried to create space for himself. Desailly doing the defending for Milan.
The best defender that I had in that time, you know, he was quick, he was strong, he was intelligent, an animal to be defended by, you know. It's unbelievable how hard it is to play against Marcel Desailly. It was amazing, really. For me, it was an eye-opener because I played against a lot of defenders, but Marcel Desailly was by far the best defender that I faced, you know.
Right. He'd scored in the previous year's final. He joins us on this podcast actually to talk about 94, but I remember him in the 95 game, which, as I say, was a very different kind of match, when your manager Louis van Gaal took exception to a high boot and executed that amazing kung fu kick on the sideline.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was I think that kick went all over the yeah. world, I think. I didn't know that he could have jumped so high, but
yeah,
you know,
amazing.
In a final, you do some things that you normally don't do. It was unbelievable, that high kick, but he almost kicked Jari Liedmann's head off.
So the final, though, Patrick, you're on the bench again. Was that a surprise?
Actually, no, because I came back from a knee injury, and that's why I started on the bench. So it was no surprise for me.
9 Dutch players in the starting 11 named by Louis van Gaal, plus one Finnish international in Jari Litmanen and the Nigerian Thinidi. Ronald de Boer plays up front in preference to Patrick Kluivert and Nwankwo Kanu.
Tell me about your mother. Had had a word with Louis van Gaal.
Yes, it's true.
Was that an awkward, like, oh, mum moment? Or
yeah, that was an awkward, oh, mum. What did you say? Yeah, because before we left, my mother said, oh, my son will score in the final. My son will score in the final. Watch out, watch out. I was like, mom, shut up, please. And yeah, at the end, when we came back, my mother was standing, you know, in the elevator stairs, just to open up. Mm-hmm. And my mother was standing there and woof, I cried my eyes out.
Aww.
But it was a sweet moment. It was a very sweet moment for me. To bring back the biggest trophy, yeah, that was fantastic.
She must really have been fantastic. So proud, Patrick.
I haven't seen a even more proud mother than I saw that day,
All right. Really. 70 minutes you have to sit on the bench and watch this game, which, I'm going to be frank, it wasn't the greatest Champions League final.
No, it wasn't.
It's been quite the game of chess so far. Maybe it's a throwback to the 1970s in so many ways, watching this Ajax team. The total football. Panidi and the header by Frank de Boer. Just over the top. Frank de Boer. Oh, and Edwin van der Sar had to get rid of it. He's a confident young goalkeeper with the ball at his feet. Simone. Death flick. Maldini. And it stays in. Panucci! It goes down as a chance. Roberto Donadoni. And hit on the volley by Marco Simone. He thought that was his moment. Ajax, not too fond of Milan's tactics here.
Capello, the previous year, had surprised everybody by going all out, certainly like a really blistering start against Barcelona and then racking up the goals. And this time, maybe it was a testament to how much he feared Ajax that he gave Desailly a more defensive role, that it was more of a containment operation from Milan.
Ajax not really able to click into gear in the manner that we've seen from them time and again in the Champions League this season. You would say defences on top.
You eventually got the nod 70 minutes in.
Jari Litmanen is the player to make way for the precocious Patrick Kluivert. Well, can the youngster make a difference off the bench? Extra time, a real possibility here.
How difficult was it to find space to make opportunities?
Very difficult. As you mentioned, AC Milan, normally they played quite defensive. In this game, they also started like this. But we also started quite defensively. And maybe it was because it was a final or something. Mm. I think both teams were quite nervous as well. As we played already two times against each other, you saw that it was not... We didn't play freely towards both sides. And then, of course, if you come in, you step on the bench at 75 minutes and you're warming up, looking the game, how the game is going on. And yeah, all of a sudden, 85th minute, you come in and you try to find the space. And it was not that normal to come in, you know, 0-0 on the scoring board and It was quite difficult. It is overall difficult to come in as a sub, of course. But this one was really particular. And all of a sudden, you know, everybody saw the attacking when I scored. The ball came from the left side, but Overmars passing the ball to Edgar David.
Albertini was attending to Patrick Kluivert. Chase for Overmars.
Edgar David passing the ball to Frank Rijkaard. And I saw that there was a hole, and I thought that he didn't see me.
David and Rijkaard and Kluivert. And he might be in here. Breakthrough for Ajax,
and I think that he wanted to have the ball back.
The Dutch side have themselves a youthful hero. Louis van Gaal savors the moment. Patrick Kluivert off the bench and delivers.
If you pass a ball in the box to a striker, he needs to know he won't get it back.
You're not getting that.
The Ajax supporters exploding with joy. Patrick Kluivert took it on, outfoxed Zvonimir Boban, and with the left foot, placed it into the back of the net. He's such a bright young prospect, Patrick Kluivert, and the stage belongs to him. Not intimidated one little bit. Ajax in front in Vienna.
So, I mean, I think we need to give this goal some love, because you're 18 years old and you're up against probably the greatest defensive line of all time.
Yep.
And the minutes are counting down and the tension's ratcheting up and it's all on you. You get this chance. You say you've seen a bit of space, but you make that space because you kind of open up your body and back into the defence a little bit to create that pocket.
Yes. Yeah.
Zvonny's sliding in, but you shift the ball off just before he gets there. But now you've got Franco Baresi approaching, which
and
is...
and I was like, I need to get the ball quickly in.
Right, yeah.
Everybody knows Baresi, he doesn't make jokes at tackles.
Yeah.
I touch the ball and I see that Rossi, the ball like flicked his hand and all of a sudden it went in. And after that, I run away. And before the game, I said, if I score, I will switch my shirt. And you see it also in the replay. So I switched my shirt, but all the guys came and hugged me. So I didn't get any air. And it looks like I'm hitting the guys off a bit. I couldn't get any air, and it was so mind-blowing. It felt like the stadium exploded, you know? And at that moment, yeah, it was an indescribable moment. It's really amazing.
You can't breathe, and you feel the stadium's exploding. I'm trying to get a sense of what it's like to score a goal in the Champions League.
Yeah, it's like somebody's like choking you.
Wow. All that tension, presumably, is just...
Yeah, yeah. All
incredible.
The tension and try, because I tried to turn my shirt so my hand
was you've got one arm trapped inside.
Yes, and all the guys were hugging me and I'm like, hey, leave me alone.
Wow.
Yeah, but that moment was indescribable.
Can you still feel that sensation?
Yes, quite. If I speak to you, I can really get back in that time. I'm sweating already, you know.
Ajax have the ball exactly where they want it. Full time, Ajax are the winners of the Champions League for season 1994-95. Louis van Gaal's youngsters. They've beaten a team of seasoned veterans. The future is very bright indeed for Ajax. And Danny Blind receives the coveted trophy. No one can say Ajax don't deserve this. Truly magnificent throughout the course of the Champions League season.
Be able to have that for the rest of your days, really.
Yeah.
So that's you, aged 18, wrapping up the Champions League final and taking Ajax back to the top after all that time. I mean, you've worn some amazing jerseys, and by this point you were a central part of the Ajax team, but just... For a kid who'd grown up in Amsterdam, who joined Ajax, etc., how special was it for you to wear the Ajax shirt?
Well, there never has been a more special moment for me besides wearing the Barcelona shirt. I'm, of course, very grateful to have played for all the clubs that I played. But, you know, growing up in that shirt and then seeing every year the shirt switching, but not the colors, the shape, but not the colors, playing for your childhood club, and winning the Champions League, it's just amazing. It's just a child story came in reality. And Yeah, for me, Ajax is, will, and shall always be in my heart. It's the club who brought me all the positivity what I can have in football. Mm. 100%.
So you go back to Amsterdam and there's the reunion with your mother, and that the following season, there's one or two changes. Frank Rijkaard's retired, Clarence Seedorf's moved to Serie A. But for all of that, you came within a couple of penalty kicks of getting back-to-back European titles.
Yeah, the competition was actually quite easy for us. In all respect, we were dominating really the game quite like 94. And in Champions League, I think as well, it was a little bumpier, but going through the group stage, quarterfinals, semi-final, and all of a sudden, yeah, Juventus in the final.
Ajax seek to defend their European crown with seven of the 11 who started last year's final. Patrick Kluivert was a match-winning substitute in 95 and must wait his turn again this year.
And that was the other side of the medal. I would love to have the second Champions League under my name, but Ravanelli, he tied us up.
Lifted up towards Ravanelli, who got there ahead of De Boer and slid it past a stranded Van der Sar to open the scoring for Juve in the Olympic Stadium. De Boer, Peruzzi couldn't hold it. Lindblom scored! Aimed it at Kluivert. Well, he came off the bench to win it in Vienna last year. Patrick Kluivert is in the mood again.
Yeah, one more draw, then to spot kicks. And, well, who was it in goal? Was it was Peruzzi, no, for Juve?
Yeah, it was Peruzzi, yeah, Peruzzi.
Yeah, Peruzzi.
First up for Ajax, a focused Edgar Davids. And Peruzzi saves. Sonny Saloy. Oh, it's a fine save. Peruzzi has taken Juventus to the cusp of glory. Jugovic for the European title. Juventus are European champions.
And then after that, people often talk about that great Ajax side and some of the things that people say, like Guardiola's called it the greatest team you'll ever see and etc. But one of the questions is, you know, why wasn't there a dynasty? And I guess one of the reasons is the rule change, the contractual kind of changes that were happening around that time with the Bosman ruling, which effectively saw that team disbanded within the space of a couple of years. Was that something that was, I mean, I know it happens in football, but was that particularly poignant?
Well, the Bosman rule was for a player, of course, very important. Mm-hmm. And for the clubs, it was devastating. These things happen in football. What can I say about it? It was sad to leave the club, of course. But as a young player, you want to look if abroad you can do the same with a new environment, a new climate, new life, actually. Mm-hmm. You make that choice and things happen.
Davids went to Milan the year before. He went in 96, didn't he? Reitziger too. The De Boers went to Barcelona, Overmars to Arsenal. Basically, the family all breaks up. And then you in 97 emulate again your idol, Marco van Basten, by joining the Rossoneri. That wasn't the greatest of periods, but Barcelona certainly was the team you joined after.
Yeah, AC Milan was not the greatest experience, but I learned a lot. I enjoyed very much because I played alongside George Weah. Yeah, that was amazing. It's a pity that I couldn't stay longer in AC Milan because playing against a team that 2 years before you beat them in the Champions League was very nice. Davids was there. Vincent Bogarde went with me and Michael Reisinger was also there.
Right.
Yeah, it's a pity that it didn't work out. So for me, when Louis van Gaal gave me a call asking me to join FC Barcelona, it was a relief because I know that Luis van Gaal played in the same system as Ajax because I was playing in a 4-4-2 in Milan. It was difficult. It was very different because at that time we were playing very, very defensively and only me and George Weah were up front. And it was really difficult to get serves from the side, what I love to play. And all of a sudden you come back in Barcelona and you have two modest players right and left side from you. That's Rivaldo and Figo. So for me it was coming into a warm bath, getting surge from left, right, coming back in the same system with Luis Enrique behind you, with Cocu behind you, name it, Guardiola, he was like the orchestra in front of the defense. It was just fantastic. It was really fantastic. And from that moment, if you play sixth season in Barcelona with 123 official goals, then you may say that for foreign playing, you did a good job in Barcelona. That was really, really enjoyable time. And I had a lot of different coaches. Eh? I had, in my 6 years, I had six different coaches. Can you imagine?
It's like being at Watford for a season. Yeah. So, well, these days, you have a son in the Barcelona Academy now. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, my Excellent. Son Shane is playing in the Barcelona Academy.
All right. How's he doing?
He's doing great. Yeah, he's doing very good. He next year, he will go to under 16.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's enjoying. He's doing very good. He's actually a different player than myself. He's a wing player, like Justin, who's playing now for Nice.
Okay.
They're both left wing, but with right foot.
Okay. Justin, yeah, who has continued your tradition of scoring ridiculously young goals in the Champions League. He was Roma's youngest ever scorer in the competition. He scored it for Leipzig against Man United as well.
Yeah.
I mean, your mother, you made your mother very proud. What's it like having had those experiences to then see your sons?
It's fantastic. And I didn't do nothing. I didn't push them. I didn't say, no, you have to be dead. No, no, no. I said, you have to do what you like and I will support you.
Mm.
And apparently they're also good at it. And I see that the qualities are there, but they're still, he loves where he's now in Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Shane is doing also very good for them, and especially for Shane. He needs to just enjoy because at this age, he's now 14, he will be 15 in 24 of September. It's enjoying the game. He's getting a lot of information with the coach and everything. I try not to get too much involved because if he needs to listen to me and to his coach, it will be blurry for him. So I leave him. And if he asks something, I give him the feedback, what I need to give as a father. But he's enjoying the game. And he says to me, Daddy, I love this game and there's no plan B. So prepare yourself. I'm going to be a football player. So Excellent. I need to be prepared. And it's really nice to see this.
What about you, Patrick? Because you've had an incredible, diverse journey since hanging up your boots. Australia, the Netherlands, of course, Curaçao. You were director of football at Paris Saint-Germain, which, I mean, we could fill a podcast or two with what that must have been like. Very interesting club.
I was sports director with PSG and director of the academy with Barcelona.
Which is a pretty dream job to have, I would think, given your philosophies. What are you doing at the moment? What's your plan for the future?
Well, I'm actually in between jobs at the moment. I have my license, the coaching license now for 14 years, and I'm looking to move back to coaching in the first team. If there's a good project, of course, I would love to do. So I'm waiting to have a good opportunity. Maybe you have something in England for me. I don't know.
Almost certainly, yeah.
No, but I would really like to do something where it's a good project. I got, of course, my Barcelona and Ajax philosophy in my head, who I want to project in a club or in a team, and to do good things and win things, especially.
Absolutely. And your former Ajax and former Ajax make the best managers.
Just give me the opportunity. That's what I'm saying.
That's what they did in 1995, Patrick, and it certainly worked out.
Exactly. That's why I need now another opportunity as a coach then.
Excellent. Patrick, thank you so much for being with us today. It was and for admitting eventually that you did score a good goal in the Champions League final that day in Vienna.
First of all, it was a pleasure to have this story with you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it and hope to speak to you soon.
Perfect. Yeah, for the next chapter in your incredible career. Patrick Kluivert, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Pods.